Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
In our lives as Christians, there are things that are in our life that are like weights. We can't run our race effectively or well because of these things. They slow you down. They cause you to exert too much energy and too much stress, too much worry, and they break down your endurance to run the race that God has for you. So what are the weights that we should remove so that we can run to win? Well, I'm going to phrase it this way. Everything that hinders our progress to become Christ-like. Let me emphasize the word, everything that hinders our progress to become Christ-like.
Sometimes athletes wear weights on their ankles or wrists to build muscle while they run. When it's time to race, they take them off to feel lighter and stronger. Today, Pastor Troy uses this analogy to compare you and me to these athletes. Sometimes we wear weights that bog down our Christian walk. We never take them off, even though it's time to race. These weights can be anything that hinders your progress to becoming Christ-like. Are you wearing weights that are hindering your race? Well, let's join Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 12 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, talking about being faithful and walking by faith, and we'll talk about faith fuel today. Faith fuel for the faithful, because we all need it. It's been said that if you want to grow in faith, walk with the faithful. So we've been doing that in Hebrews chapter 11. We've slowed down and we've looked at the lives of those who were called out for their faith. What did they do? What made them so faithful? Why would they be so highlighted by the Lord? And what we found is just ordinary individuals, some of them far from perfect, and yet God recognized them for their faith. So we've been walking through their lives, walking with the faithful, so that we can learn how to be faithful and faith giants ourselves. A car needs fuel, right? I mean, you can have a beautiful car, mint condition, brand new, high quality, it doesn't matter the manufacturer. If you don't have gas, if you don't have fuel, it's not going anywhere. It needs fuel. Well, in our bodies, the same thing is true. We can be in physical shape and look good and everything, have all of our hair, you know, everything that we need for wind shear and everything else. But if we don't eat properly, or we don't take in the right fuel, then we're going to sputter. And we're going to do harm to ourselves. It's true in that realm. It's also true in the spiritual realm. Spiritually, we need fuel. We need food if we're going to be able to live spiritual lives, lives for the glory of God. So where do we find this fuel? Well, the obvious answer is in the Bible, the Word of God. That's our food. We have to feast on it. Someone once said, it's like we have two dogs in our heart, and one's the bad dog, and one's the spiritual dog. One's the fleshly dog, one's the spiritual dog. And the way to determine which dog is going to win and control things that day is the dog that you feed. It's the one that'll be strongest. And in our lives, we need to feed our spirits with the Word of God. But we also find faith fuel when we look around. We're going to talk about three places to look for faith fuel. The idea is that looking to these will inspire or convict and or work to keep you going. Like a combustion engine, they'll provide that spark that helps you out. So in verse 1 we read, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." Let's pause there. We'll take our first cue from this. The first place we ought to look is look at others. Look around. The great cloud of witnesses refers to those we've already talked about in chapter 11, these faith giants. But the author is not calling them witnesses in the sense that they are surrounding you in a stadium and they're watching you, you know, like all the pressure's on you. Like all these all-stars are watching you. How are they going to walk by faith? I did a great job, but how is he going to do? That's not the pressure that's put on us at all. In fact, it's to encourage and inspire us. There are to be those that we look to. That's the idea of witness. They are a witness to us that says, you can do it. So look around. You'll find somebody you can connect with. Look around. So the encouragement is to let their life inspire and motivate you. Warren Wiersbe said that someone came up to him one time and said, you know, we're New Testament Christians, so I don't really delve into the Old Testament with all its laws and all that stuff. If you live this way, you don't need the laws and all that stuff. I'll go and I'll read some Proverbs and I'll read some Psalms, but primarily I just read the New Testament. And his response was not, oh, how mature. What a wise use of your reading time. His response was, then you're missing a great deal of spiritual help, because it's those lives that we're to look to. In fact, Romans 15:4 says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now, when Paul wrote this to the Romans, the New Testament wasn't written. So he's speaking of the Old Testament. All of that was written for our example, that we might learn. One of the best ways to fuel your faith is to look to the examples in the Scriptures. Stop trying to find and fix and figure out doctrines all the time, and look to some of these examples who live by faith. If you're having family problems, you can look to Joseph. I mean, his own brothers hated him, threw him down a well, pulled him out, sold him to slavery. You look at that and you realize, ooh, family problems, family strife. But then you back up and you see how God is able to work in that for his greater purposes. They meant it for evil. God meant something beautiful out of it. So you feel like you're the mistreated one. You're the one that's got the disadvantage. And you can look and read about Joseph and you go, Lord, what do you have for me? What do you want for me? It encourages you. It allows you to endure and to keep going. If you feel like the job at hand is too big for you, I don't know if I can handle this task, then read about Moses or Gideon. Gideon was just a farmer. He had not been in battle. He wasn't a warrior. He didn't want to be a warrior. But God called him and made him a warrior, the general, the army general. So he didn't need history and experience. He didn't need any of that. Just wanted somebody who would have a heart for him, who would be able to walk humbly before him. If you're tempted to retaliate, get even is what we like to call it, because it justifies us. I'm just going to get even. No more, just even. They made me feel bad. I'm going to make them feel bad. So we want to get even. When you feel that way, look to David. When the spears came his direction, did he throw the spears back? One spear came, he threw one spear back. Is that what happened? No, he didn't throw any spears. You know why? Because when you look at his life, he realized the opportunities to rise up or sit down or to be king, to take things, they're not mine. It's God who lifts someone up and God who puts someone down. So David shows us you can trust God. Let your hands off the wheel and let God do it. Stop trying to get things or control things that stress you out and worry you and make you mad at the world and stumble you. And trust the Lord, because God, if he's got a plan, he's going to work that plan. And David teaches us that. So much of our worry and our frustration is trying to control things ourselves. When it's the Lord, you want to make sure you allow to do the work. And nobody stops you from having what God has for you. The only one who stops you from having what God has for you is you. And these tests and these difficulties and these people that you blame, they're all trials that stumble you to show your heart. So look to others and see how they responded. David's a great example for us in not retaliating. Of course, we have these Bible heroes to look to, and we should, but we can also look around to others here and now. There's a tendency to say, yeah, but they lived at a time when life was simpler, and no, there are those living it today. And we can look around today and find others who are committed to the Lord, denying themselves, giving things, living simply. I mean, just living in ways that this culture doesn't understand. Look to them. Now, when I say look to others here, I mean for character, for godliness, not for position. We have a tendency today to look at position. I want that position, so I'm going to look at people in that position and find out how to do that position and how to get to that position. It's all positional. And in the process, we take on some of the character of those that we're looking to, good, bad, or indifferent. God says, you don't worry about that. I can take a farmer and make him a military general. I don't need you to be prepared or learn about position. I need a heart, and I can do anything with that heart. So, God is in the process of working on our hearts always, and we need to look to those who are living godliness. I don't like that. I don't want it. But man, I see Christ. I hate it. I hate it that someone does that. Because you know that it can be done. No one else does. But now there's that example. Gosh, a woman who loves her children and smiles. I hate that. And then there's a model for us, an example that it can be done today. Look for godly witnesses, those who model not the world's values, but biblical values, and learn why, because I'll tell you what, they weren't always that way, probably. I know this because people accuse me all the time of, well, you don't know what trial's like. You probably never said a cuss word or did anything wrong. And I know a lot about, I'm not naive.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the Solid
Rock. I know a lot about a lot of things. I've seen a lot of things. I could have gone down a path that would have led, I just don't even want to imagine. I can even look back and see points in my life where decisions were made, or I was so afraid that I made, thank God, the right decision and avoided certain things, catastrophes in life. God is good. And those that are walking in those ways, they've probably learned something that you need to learn. You don't understand. The person you see is so godly, odds are they weren't always that way. They've come through things. Maybe they are a little more focused on being around their children and raising their children because they themselves almost got molested. And they know that if you let your children run free in this world, you put them at risk for those kinds of things because this person was a friend and we thought we could trust them. We don't know what someone's experiences are. Rather than calling people names or saying, oh, you guys are too tight, you guys are too this, you guys are too that, find out. Because what I'm learning more and more is that people are hurting, they're broke, and they've got a reason for doing what they do. Nobody just wants to be the way that they are. There are things that they want to overcome. But at the same time, there's some great lessons learned in life that we need to listen to so that we can make more godly decisions that show we care. So, be careful. Be careful when you're looking to these godly examples, because not everyone who talks spiritually and looks godly is that way at home. There are some who've learned how to live in front of people, how to act godly and speak spiritually. I have known some. Their lives, maybe at church, will inspire. You go meet them at the grocery store, and, oh, the Lord and the Lord. And I've known individuals that they're just inspirational. But you get to know their personal life and you realize they're not doing a lot of what they say. And it confuses you more than anything. Before you just take in from people, get to know people is what I'm saying. Get to know them. Because we all have different abilities. And some of us are better at being in public than others. And some of those you may look at in public and think, ooh, wow, they're awesome. I want to be around them. You might get involved in their life and realize, wow, this is a mess. But then there are others you're like, man, they're boring. I don't know. They're probably mean. I can't judge them. They look at me strange. When really, man, they have come so far in the Lord that you want to be around them and be inspired by the simplicity of their walk and what God's doing. So don't judge a book by its cover, I guess, is another thing I'm trying to say. Trust the Lord, listen to Him, and look for godly examples. Again, not position, but character. God can put anyone in any position He wants to with little or no experience. He doesn't need you to become a great person in that position. He wants you to be a great person in the kingdom of heaven. Your heart, your commitment, your willingness to trust Him. That's what He wants to work on. And when we look out at others, we find out that that can be done in our life. The things that God challenges us with are not always easy to address. But whether it's loving your spouse or loving the lost, giving to God or giving everything up to follow the Lord, it's going to be difficult, and it's going to be difficult for you. Others may not struggle with it. Loving your spouse, that may be a struggle for you. Like, oh man, you don't know what we've gone through, and it's just, oh, the first time he does something, it frustrates me, and I can't trust him. And okay, that's a trial. That's hard for you. Love him. Seek the Lord. Others, that's not a problem for them. See, for you, loving spouse is hard, but for you, going out and evangelizing, all that, man, oh, it's awesome. Be at the church. I love it. I'm all in. Great over here, failing over here. But for others, the opposite might be true. I'm family oriented. I don't need anyone else. I don't need others. I love my family. I love my spouse. I love them. And so you're doing okay there, but hey, you got to expand a little bit and minister and be a light to other people. And for you, that's hard. To reach out, to serve the Lord, to be in difficult situations that isn't just family, because our light is supposed to shine in the world. So, prioritizing, learning to submit ourselves to the Lord, these are things that we look to others and we can see that there's something different out there. And I can do that too as God leads me, especially if it causes me to become aligned more with God's word. It can be done. And though I've never wanted it, it may be that I need it. So we can do it. But here's what's going to have to happen. Listen as we continue to read. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Second place to look is look at yourself. Look at yourself. We'll talk about two ways we're looking at ourselves that will be faith fuel for us. One way is that we look at the things that can be changed, that need to be changed, can be dealt with, and can be changed. That gives us hope. There's something we can do to change the future, change things, the direction, to change the relationships that we have. But also to look at the things, the victories that God has given, to show that He's faithful and that we can trust Him. Athletes used to wear, in fact, they still do, they'll run around with their little ankle weights or weights somewhere, and they run around with those things to give them more weight, more resistance, so they can build their tone, build their endurance. But when the race comes, you don't find them going, you know, I need my weights. I need those weights because I'm used to running with them now. No, no, they want to get rid of those weights because those weights will hinder them. Well, in our lives as Christians, there are things that are in our life that are like weights. We can't run our race effectively or well because of these things. They slow you down. They cause you to exert too much energy and too much stress, too much worry, and they break down your endurance to run the race that God has for you. So what are the weights that we should remove so that we can run to win? Well, I'm going to phrase it this way. Everything that hinders our progress to become Christ-like. Let me emphasize the word, everything that hinders our progress to become Christ-like becomes a weight. Because it takes our attention, it takes our time, it takes our worry. We worry about those things now, they're on our plate, all of these things. See, God's goal for us is not position, it's Christ-likeness. And let me read Romans 8:29, which says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Do you see what we're predestined for? When you come to Christ, you don't give your wish list. I'd like to be like so-and-so. I'd like to speak like so-and-so. And I'd like to look like, Lord, now that I'm yours, if you just give me those. He says, no, I already predestined what I have for you. And that's to become Christ-like. It's predetermined for everyone. And so the positions and the trials and everything that happened in your life is not to give you some position. It's to cause you to become like Christ. So I set you in this position, maybe permanently, maybe temporarily, but you're in this position and you've got this thorn in the flesh and you've got this and you've got these challenges because this is the environment that's going to help you to become more Christ-like. Because that's His goal. Now, we get all confused because, well, I was up here, now I'm down here. No. But position, isn't it position? That little line of I'm obeying so I should get more? In heaven, you're going to be nobody. Do you really want to be at the top only to be down at the bottom again when you're in heaven? In fact, Jesus said, the way up is down. Serve others. Whatever you do, just serve them. Don't seek great things. Don't seek the high seats. And know this, that wherever you are, whoever's around you, whatever the problems, whatever the encouragements, it's all to build you and to help you to be conformed into the image of Christ, to help you trust the Lord. Remember that when the trials come. Remember that when the demotions come or the promotions. Remember that. God is doing a work in you, and our job is not to hold on to anything or to seek after anything, but to respond the right way.
Faith is something that sounds easier than it realistically is. As we've continued to study through the book of Hebrews, though, we hope you've noticed just how often faith is referred to. Many people have held on to their faith despite trials and despite personal mistakes. This wasn't easy, but we have their lives, the Word of God, and the support of the body of Christ to help us thrive. Here at Building on the Solid Rock, we realize how hard this journey of faith is for everyone. We want you to know that we pray for you often. If you ever have a specific prayer request, please email us at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can find out more about this ministry as well as listen to other messages from Pastor Troy by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast while you're there to never miss a new edition of this program. That site again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. Thanks for tuning in today. Pastor Troy will continue walking with us through Hebrews next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.